The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show, Taco Tuesday. I told Mrs. Crudy, tacos, please. She asked me, what do you want for dinner? You know, it's always a tough decision. Here at the radio station, they challenge me. What music do you want? They make me think ahead. It's difficult sometimes. My brain doesn't always think like that. You know, got to live in the now. But I've got Rich and I've got Aaron helping me out this hour. And it's a big hour because we're launching a Civic Media Right in the Spring Text to Win contest right now. We're doing it now. We're doing it live. So before I tell you what's on the big show, let me tell you how you can qualify to win. And the prize is not so bad. Each day, four daily winners receive an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. I've tried that place. All entrants, daily winners included, are entered to win one of our two grand prizes that include brand new bicycles, a 3-in-1 blender, and an outdoor patio love seat. I need to, at minimum, try out that blender. And four times a day to qualify to win, 7 a.m., 10 a.m., 1 p.m., and right now, folks, 3 p.m. So you need your text to win word. And your word today at 3 p.m., this word has changed. Each time it's going to change. Today, right now, the word you need to text, and I should also stipulate, you got to have the Civic Media app. This is a promotion to encourage you to do the right thing. A, you can take it with you anywhere. It's shiny. It's super cool, the Civic Media app. Take it with you. And then use that text feature during the particular show you're listening to, the greatest radio show ever right now, Devil's Advocates. Use the text feature from the Civic Media app and text the keyword vacation, V-A-C-A-T-I-O-N, vacation. Like I'm getting out of here. I'm on vacation. You know, think of Dom, but the word is vacation. So if you want to qualify to win one of those super cool ride into spring prizes, use the app, text vacation right now. If you want to know more about the contest, go to the civicmedia.us. That's all I have to say about that for right now. Let's talk about this big show. First and foremost, got the Secretary of the great state of Wisconsin joining me here in the WMDX 92.7 FM studios. Sarah Godlewski. You know her. You love her. I think you do. We do. Friend of the Devil's Advocates. She's going to come in about 3:30. And, you know, she's been on that job for about a year now. So we're going to catch up, find out what Sarah's been up to. And we're going to hold her over so she can see and allow my friend Dom to say hi to our Secretary of State when he joins the show at 4 o'clock today, as is generally his custom. So text in. We're riding into spring, folks. Text in vacation, the word, but use the Civic Media text app. Get ready. Sarah Godlewski coming soon. Tell your friends, and Dom will join us at 4 o'clock. We got lots of big topics today. But in the backyard news, you know I'm a homer. There is news that the field of Republicans has cleared for the pornstachioed Eric Hudvey. Apparently, the other businessman of some renown that was considering entering the race has made news by saying he won't. He will sacrifice his own ambition for the good of the party. Apparently, Scott Mayer won't enter the Republican field to challenge Tammy Baldwin. This apparently news at this hour. Wisconsin Republican businessman Scott Mayer will not run for Senate in 2024, increasing the odds Republicans will avoid a contested primary race as they seek to unseat Democrat Tammy Baldwin in November. That's not going to work. It's not going to work. She's nearly unbeatable, and I'm not sure that the Eric Hudvey has the right stuff. Mayer on Tuesday told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel he has no desire to be in a bloody, really, really, really expensive primary race against Republican banking mogul Eric Hudvey. He said he will stand down. Isn't that what Trump told the guys to do? Stand back, stand down, stand by. He's going to stand down, this Scott Mayer, to let Hudvey try to take on Baldwin. I really, truly feel like I could have made a difference. Regretful words. You're just leaving the race. More time with family. Let's see what he says. I just don't want a bloody primary. I don't think that's going to help anybody but Tammy Baldwin. And Mayer's decision means Republicans are almost certain to avoid a primary fight for a seat that will play a key role in determining which party controls the Senate next year. I have not heard the final word from former Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. Till I do, I'm not convinced that we aren't going to have a Republican primary, but maybe they've got more news of him. Let me read on here a bit. Lawrence Andrea at the Journal Sentinel. Hudvey joined the race last month with the blessing of national Republicans and Mayer, a multimillionaire from Franklin, had been seen as one of the last remaining potential contenders. But what about former Milwaukee County Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. has not yet formally ruled out launching a run. Oh, do it. Do it, Sheriff Clark. You know you want to. You just don't want to actually do the campaigning. You don't really like people that much. That's my impression. He likes the limelight. He likes to build the brand. He's been on talk radio, and I guess he's kind of banned from Fox News. I don't know what he did. But he has shown, they say of Clark, he has shown no signs of campaign activity. You serious, Clark? I don't think he is. In the first official month of the Hudvey campaign, Clark has defended Hudvey on social media multiple times. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a guy who's going to run against him. Now, Mayer, a leader of a staffing and recruitment company and a political newcomer, had on occasion appeared reluctant to jump into the race, but continued to travel the state to speak to Republican groups and donors. When national Republicans effectively endorsed Hudvey late last year, Mayer told the Journal Sentinel he had enough support from all the wealthy Wisconsin connections and could gain steam with voters. More recently, Mayer gave mixed signals about the status of his potential campaigns. He said in February that he had started to build out his staff and took shots at Hudvey, but he immediately walked back his claims that he had hired campaign staff, saying instead that he had people ready to join his campaign should he announce a run. Of course, this news today, he ultimately opted out. On Tuesday, that's today, folks, Mayer said he felt he would have been disruptive and not just follow party lines. But if he ran, but noted Hudvey's entrance into the race last month set up a situation where Mayer would have had to spend $10 to $15 million of his own money. Yeah, that would have cost you some of your personal wealth, sir. He said he was truly gearing up and preparing for a run and did not think that Hudvey would actually launch a campaign, despite national Republicans saying otherwise. With Hudvey in the race, Mayer said, "I don't want to spend that amount of money it would take to do it the right and win the primary. He obviously has resources, and I have resources, and the only one that would benefit from that would be Tammy Baldwin. And that's just not what I want to see happen. You know, he's doing it for the good of the party and all. I just don't think that there's any reason for me to get involved and turn it into a mess and give a free pass for the incumbent. So I'm going to stand down." Now, Mayer told the Journal Sentinel he planned to support Hudvey, and he said he thought Democrats would have a field day with Hudvey's connections to California, something Mayer has been previously critical of, but added, let's be honest, he is born and raised here. He's a Wisconsinite. My goal all along has been it's time for Tammy to, you know, get out and give somebody else a chance. That's a weird motivation. Her turn is over. Continuing with Mayer's quote here from the paper, I think we got to push for some new people. And I think that there's going to be a big push for people with a business background. Like Trump? Question mark. Hudvey, in turn, called Mayer a good man who would have been a formidable opponent. I guess he's going to go ask him for a campaign check now. Today's development comes as welcome news for Republicans who hope to avoid a big primary fight ahead of the November matchup with Baldwin and Democrats in what is sure to be an expensive race. Now, Baldwin has got a lot of jing. $8 million in a war chest at the beginning of the year, and Democrats have already launched six-figure ads attacking Hudvey. I think some are playing out right on this radio station. And Baldwin's campaign declined to comment on Mayer's announcement. Hudvey and Republicans, meanwhile, have their sights set on Baldwin in the absence of a viable GOP primary challenger. And national Republicans launched ads hitting Baldwin on the first official day of Hudvey's campaign. And Hudvey has sought to tie Baldwin to President Joe Biden, who is not popular in the state. Probably more popular than Trump, I would think. But anyways, just one man's opinion. Republicans are united in our fight to flip the Wisconsin Senate seat and send 40-year career politician Tammy Baldwin into retirement, NRSC spokesman Tate Mitchell. Again, this is after Mayer says he's not running. That's the news of the day. This courageous man has chosen to stand down and let a better candidate do the job. That's what Dom does every hour at 3. You know, he stands down and lets me do the job. He knows. He'll be along at 4. We got Sarah Godlewski coming along at 3:30. Final quote from Mayer, the not candidate for the U.S. Senate. I couldn't tell you that you're ever going to see me in politics again, but I've learned not to box myself in. Who knows what happens down the road? Folks, we're riding into spring at Civic Media. Text to win contest. Got to use the shiny Civic Media app. Right into spring, the word today, the 3 o'clock word, vacation. Text it in. Let them know you're listening on the Civic Media app. Got to use the text feature on the app. You know, it's new. We'll keep getting it until we get it right. Come back, more Devil's Advocates. We always get it right.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show at Taco, better be Tacos, Taco Tuesday edition. Got news from the Associated Press regarding the governor making good on one of the promises he made in his State of the State address. And as Scott Bauer reports, over-the-counter birth control now available to Wisconsin Medicaid patients. And I would point out that's at no cost to the patient. This is good news. And, you know, good job, Tony Evers, producing what he promised in his State of the State address. Here's how the AP reports it. Medicaid recipients in Wisconsin will have access to the first over-the-counter birth control bill, a pill, oral pill, starting Tuesday, allowing them to easily receive contraceptive medication with no out-of-pocket cost or doctor's prescription, Governor Tony Evers announced. Now, Evers, a Democrat, if you're unaware, promised in his State of the State speech in January that O-Pill would be available to people in the state's Medicaid program known as Badger Care Plus. It will start becoming available in some Medicaid-enrolled pharmacies today and expand over the coming weeks, Evers said in a statement. Evers said it was more important than ever to ensure access to the drug. And here's a quote from the governor. As we see continued attacks on women's reproductive freedoms here in Wisconsin and across our country, And Badger Care Plus currently covers over-the-counter daily oral contraception with a prescription from a provider. A new standing order from Evers will allow OPILL to be available without a prescription and with no out-of-pocket cost. And the suggested retail price from the manufacturer Perrigo for a one-month supply is about $20. The Food and Drug Administration in July approved the sale of a once-a-day O-pill without a prescription. So I think this is good news. I would commend Governor Tony Evers for making this widely available to Wisconsin women, especially those that are economically available to the Badger Care program, those that aren't doing so well or qualify for whatever reason, but it's financially based. You can't qualify unless you have financial need. But this also gives them control over their own body. Here in the state of Wisconsin, there's been a real loss. Women have lost reproductive freedoms. And I don't just mean the Dobbs decision. I don't just mean the overturning of Roe v. Wade. This has gone back since Scott Walker's governorship here in the state of Wisconsin. The guy often bragged about defunding Planned Parenthood. When you look at Planned Parenthood, what was being offered in 2010, and you compare that with what happened after the Dobbs decision, immediately after Dobbs overturned Roe v. Wade, you know, the national standard that allowed for legal safe abortion, when that was overturned, the state of Wisconsin immediately reverted to the 1849 law. That was the law of the land, or at least that was the presumption here in the state of Wisconsin amongst the legal community. And to have any other opinion put forth, and this is a question that's going to have to be decided by the Wisconsin Supreme Court, perhaps, because under the current legislative gerrymander, you're not going to get a suitable piece of legislation to come through these Republicans. I mean, what was their deal? 14-week abortion ban? No one's asking you, Robin Voss, to set policy for women. You're certainly not a medical professional. No one asked you to step in this breach. But I suspect the Wisconsin Supreme Court's going to have to, because it's a real question. And I understand a Dane County judge in the aftermath of the 1849 ban, where Planned Parenthood stopped performing abortive care here in the state of Wisconsin. I understand that a Dane County judge said, well, that's not really what the 1849 law said either. This was about infanticide. This wasn't about a consensual abortion. This was about someone, you know, trying to do harm to a pregnant woman to cause her to lose the baby. Think, you know, angry, jealous husband, boyfriend, whatever the case may be. It wasn't really, according to the Dane County judge, set up to be a ruling that would ban abortion. And I believe we've got, what, the Sheboygan County DA pushing the state Supreme Court to take this up. Someone's got to answer this question for the state of Wisconsin. But in the meantime, you better have contraceptive care. You better be taking your pill, young ladies. And I don't put the responsibility for pregnancy on the woman. I mean, it takes two to tango in every situation. I was a 20-year-old co-ed. I have sons who currently go to college, and I've got a daughter who has been very candid about her own life. And I would say this is a good thing. Giving women control over whether or not they are impregnated is giving them control over their financial life. It gives them control over their future. If they don't have control over reproductive freedom, they're trapped. They're the proverbial barefoot and pregnant, are they not? If a woman can't control whether or not she wants to be pregnant, I mean, this is a choice. And, you know, I know there are a lot of married couples that, you know, my wife and I have joked, you know, if it wasn't for accidents, we wouldn't have any kids. But of course, that was within the context of a marriage where we were prepared for that contingency. And we're hopeful on some level that maybe, you know, maybe kids would spring forth from the union. But not everybody wants that. Not everyone can afford that. Certainly not in the financial times that we're in. Not everyone's doing well. You know, a lot of people still work in the gig economy. A lot of people don't have sufficient childcare. It's not affordable out there in the world. Was it affordable when my kids were young? It's like another mortgage payment at that time. So how do you trap a young woman? Make her pregnant, with or without her consent, especially if she doesn't have a supportive family unit around her to help financially. And so many of the men in this world, and I'm not saying all of them, but they don't all take responsibility financially for the takes two to tango part. You know, she gets pregnant, and we got lots of Republicans that tell the woman what she should do with her body and would trap her in this circumstance, you know, prey on it. Well, maybe she prayed and she came up with a different conclusion between her and her doctor or her and her God. Isn't that her decision to make? So this is a good thing. And I admire the governor for A, making a public stance, and then B, delivering upon it. Non-prescription. Don't need a doctor's note. Free to the Badger Care patients, those that are in greatest financial need. While this contraceptive is $20 a month, that can be a lot of money if you're out of money at the end of every month because you're living paycheck to paycheck. Folks, we're the devil's advocates. Got a fine guest coming next. She is Sarah Godlewski, Secretary of the State of Wisconsin. It's been about a year. She told me when we spoke earlier today, you know, it's been a year since I took the oath of office in my Packer pajamas. I'm thinking, I don't even own Packer pajamas. That's a real fan. Come back, devil's advocates. Hope you got your devil's advocates pajamas. I would tell you, that's just birthday suit.
What a drag it is getting old.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for nasty women everywhere.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the Tuesday edition. Tacos, but no Secretary of State for you. My apologies. Late cancellation. We'll get her rescheduled in short order. But in part, what I wanted to speak with Sarah Godlewski about is the election policies here in the state of Wisconsin. And I realize the Secretary of State is not actually the official that directs the elections here in the state of Wisconsin. But I think there had been an effort afoot. If Republicans had won control, they wanted to empower the Secretary of State's office to be the election administrator. But as NBC News reports, Wisconsin is lagging behind other swing states in shoring up election policies following the 2020 chaos. Well, the chaos continues here. Adam Edelman reports 4 years ago, Wisconsin arguably was the state where Donald Trump came the closest to overturning the election results. I would suggest he came within one Brian Hagedorn vote on the Wisconsin Supreme Court because the other three conservatives were more than willing to throw democracy overboard and consider throwing out 200,000 completely valid absentee ballots if it would give Donald Trump the benefit of the doubt. But back to Edelman's writing at the NBC News. A barrage of lawsuits aimed at invalidating hundreds of thousands of mostly Democratic votes in the crucial battleground sought to take advantage of certain election policies in the state related to absentee ballots that were cast early and by confined or disabled voters, as well as those where election workers completed certain missing information on the envelopes. The effort made it all the way to the state Supreme Court, then controlled by conservatives, which ruled by one vote against Trump's bid to overturn the results. And yet, heading into the next presidential election, lawmakers in Wisconsin have done little or nothing, Crudy would assert, to prevent a similar scenario from playing out again in the event of a close race. State lawmakers have failed to enact any measures that would serve to clarify the nuances of absentee ballots that Trump, now the presumptive 2024 Republican nominee, attempted to exploit. They also have not closed loopholes that could provide allies of the former president with openings to insert conspiracy theories and misinformation. Now I'm going to step out of the NBC News reporting just for a minute. Remember what we told you on the show yesterday? Christina Bob, she is the new election integrity attorney at the Republican National Committee, the RNC. They've merged their agenda. Now that Trump is the presumptive nominee, he's purged the RNC and he's brought in big lie conspiracists, people getting sued by Dominion, people like OANN, former, network host, anchor, Christina Bob. I mean, she was on the team then. And she has been one of the biggest spinner of conspiracy theories nationwide. And they've done nothing to close the loopholes. And Trump, of course, has already shown his cards. He's already shown his best and his brightest conspiracist loyalist that he's put in place just in case he doesn't win fair and square in 2024, let's just say. So, reading on. State lawmakers have failed to enact any measures that would serve to clarify the nuances of the absentee ballots that Trump, as we just said, I know I'm being a little redundant here. I'm reading it over just so you hear it. State lawmakers have failed to enact any measures to clarify the absentee ballots that Trump, now the presumptive 2024 Republican nominee, attempted to exploit. They have also not closed the loopholes that provide allies of the former president with openings to insert conspiracy theories and misinformation. And I would include right-wing talk radio in that mix. And the Wisconsin Elections Commission, which oversees elections in the state, has issued pieces of modest guidance, but remains flooded with partisan attacks and efforts to impeach its top official. Oh, yeah, and by the way, one of the Wisconsin Elections Commissioner was a fake Trump elector. Looking at you, Bob Spindell. That all stands in contrast to other swing states that were also targeted by Trump allies in the wake of the 2020 election. In Michigan, Democratic lawmakers have implemented broad reforms to election security and ballot counting. In Pennsylvania, the Democratic governor recently rolled out an election security task force designed to mitigate threats to the vote of this year. But in Wisconsin, many of the same obstacles, questions, and gray areas regarding drop boxes, disabled and elderly voters, ballot processing, and perhaps most importantly, the protection of election oversight apparatus that has been inundated by threats and attacks remains unaddressed, alarming election workers and watchdogs in the state. Statewide, I don't see a lot of change, said Dean County Clerk Scott McDonald, the top election official in Wisconsin's second most populous county. It's not like something dramatically different has happened here. Jay Hack, the executive director of Common Cause of Wisconsin, also a friend, the state's branch of the National Nonpartisan Government Watchdog Group, added that the consequences could be dire if the right mix of circumstances were to emerge on or following the election day. It could all explode. The lack of action relative to other key states is largely a product of two dynamics. Unlike in Michigan and Pennsylvania, election administration is decentralized in Wisconsin. While Michigan and Pennsylvania have a singular office, the Secretary of State, that has the ability to help push through election protection efforts and respond to threats in real time, elections in Wisconsin are overseen by a six-member bipartisan Wisconsin Election Commission. And that commission, of course, was created to logjam, to not work effectively, because this commission was meant to replace the effective Government Accountability Board, once held up as one of the highlights nationwide, one of the best and brightest ways to run elections and keep people in check. And then they had the temerity to investigate Scott Walker's alleged campaign finance law-breaking, coordination, flouting of the campaign finance laws. And Republicans eliminated that and created this in its stead. And this has not been an effective way, or we wouldn't be reading the story in the NBC News about how Wisconsin trails these other states. I read on. The commission has also been hamstrung. In addition to getting bombarded with conspiracy theories and threats by election deniers, its chief officer, Megan Wolf, the top elections official in the state, has faced unending threats of impeachment and removal. The ongoing attacks have impeded efforts by the commission and could help seed further potential chaos in an election cycle. Further potential chaos. You know, like, it's been around here for the last 4 years. They're still trying to decertify the 2020 election. Meanwhile, the GOP-controlled legislature has blocked numerous bills pushed by Democratic Governor Tony Evers that would have addressed many different facets of elections, including one that would have allowed absentee ballots that have missing or incomplete information to be counted. Republicans stalled another bill that would have allowed election officials to start reviewing mail ballots before Election Day, a measure that would speed up ballot counting, particularly in densely populated and heavily Democratic Madison and Milwaukee, where Trump allies portrayed slow counting of mail ballots as a sign of fraud in 2020. Right? It was the late arrival, the late counting, the late ballot dump, as they would describe it, in Milwaukee County. The absentee ballots were counted. The same day voters overwhelmingly, or at least largely, went out and voted for Donald Trump and the Republicans. But the banked absentee ballots, overwhelmingly, like 80% of them, voted for Joe Biden. And when that number came in late in the evening, be it the night Scott Walker lost to Tony Evers at like 1:30 in the morning when the absentee ballots came in, or whether it was 2020 when it happened on election night and they finally got around to dumping the vote totals. And when I say dumping, that's only because they won't allow them to pre-count these ballots and include them at a reasonable time frame before the average citizen goes to bed. Because, you know, your average Fox News viewer's already been to the early bird buffet and's got their ass in bed long before the absentee ballot totals from Dane and Milwaukee County are included in the state of Wisconsin. And they wake up and they hear from their guy, "It was rigged. They're stealing it from me." Republican efforts to block bills like those have largely been a product of the deep fractures within the party related to how and whether to move on from Trump's election denialism. They have not. A key Republican in the state Senate stalled the ballot pre-processing bill, for example, after an outspoken Trump ally and election denier raised questions about it. And despite the fact that the highly publicized review championed by Trump allies in the state found no evidence of malfeasance or wrongdoing during or after the 2020 election, Republican lawmakers passed several bills only to face vetoes from Evers that experts fear would have restricted voting abilities. Put together, it amounts to a constant drumbeat of trying to undermine faith in our system, said McDonnell, who called the lack of legislative action very disconcerting. I agree with you, sir. The future of ballot drop boxes, a crucial component of the COVID plague 2020 elections, also remains uncertain in the state. And the state Supreme Court ruled in 2022, that was the prior conservative bloc state Supreme Court, that use of most boxes was unconstitutional. In the years since, guidance from officials in the state regarding how and whether voters with disabilities and physically compromised senior citizens would be allowed to rely on others to help them vote, well, that remains fuzzy and poorly communicated, according to experts. Yes, very fuzzy and poorly communicated. But the court, where the liberals now have a majority, said last week it would revisit the ruling. They need to. Voting experts like Jay Hack said it's a rare bright spot, but he and others also warned of other possible changes favored by Trump allies that would further weaken election protections in the state. For example, the April 2nd primary ballot in Wisconsin will ask voters to decide on two proposed constitutional amendments that critics contend are byproducts of conspiracy theories touted by election deniers. They are. You should vote no on both of them. The early ballots are out. A lot of my Democratic friends, you're going to take advantage. You're going to vote early. Vote no on the conspiracy theory inspired constitutional amendments. Do me a favor, okay? More from NBC News while there's time. One will ask voters to decide whether to change the state constitution to ban the use of private funds in election administration. Following the 2020 election, Trump allies falsely claimed that the millions of dollars donated by Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg to groups helping election administration offices were merely a front for the tech mogul to help Biden. There were about 200 communities, I believe, statewide in the state of Wisconsin. They only point out the five that have Democratic mayors, but the many, many run by local Republicans, the small communities that also felt underfunded during a pandemic, they never reference those. They always talk about the Zuckerbucks. And the other question, voters will be asked to decide whether only election officials designated by law may perform tasks in the conduct of primaries, elections, and referendums. Critics say the Wisconsin law already clearly outlines who qualifies as an election official and that the amendment would needlessly narrow the number of people who qualify as such. Passage of these amendments is likely to leave election clerks all over the state of Wisconsin without the resources to run elections smoothly. That according to Jay Heck and Crudy. Come back with me. Dom joins soon. You can join right now. Phone lines are open. 844-967-2789. Hey!
The Devil's Advocates. Political commentary from the back of the class.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the 3 o'clock Wisconsin Power Hour. And Dom joins at 4. We'll turn our attention to the national headlines. A lot of them. U.S. Supreme Court has allowed Texas to start enforcing its own immigration laws. What could possibly go wrong? I even saw John Roberts on Fox News going through with, I believe, the lieutenant governor of the state of Texas, the whole litany of questions like, what are the charges? How long can you hold these people? Can they make bail? I mean, when Fox News is really starting to question and dig in, I don't think the U.S. Supreme Court clarified the issue. I think they opened Pandora's box. But why Wisconsin? Well, because Wisconsin matters. There are literally, and according to thehill.com, 7 states that matter in the presidential election. Many of you that can hear my voice right now, you matter. My friends in California, my daughter, LA Tom, less so. They don't matter because it's not who gets the most votes, of course, it's who wins the Electoral College. And we have 10, because we've got 8 congresspeople and 2 senators here in the state of Wisconsin, we get to offer 10 Electoral College votes. And when Trump won in 16, the pivotal state, the domino that took him to victory, state of Wisconsin. And by contrast, in 2020, when the blue wall held here in the upper Midwest, when the roles were reversed and Trump lost and Joe Biden won, well, it was also the state of Wisconsin. And all the coup attempts, the conspiracies, the fake elector schemes, where do they all originate from? Well, right here in the great state of Wisconsin, they're all Badger original criming that then was taken on the road multi-jurisdictionally to all the other swing states. Because again, it's only a handful of states that matter, including Arizona. Now, I had considered traveling to Arizona this week because this would have been the Arizona primary week. Today, I believe. 19th? Today, the 19th it is. Tuesday, March 19th. I could be sunning it up in sunny Phoenix or Tucson. But, of course, there is no primary. The primaries are over. And we've got Joe Biden and we've got Donald Trump. And here's what Arizona currently has to say or where they stand. Arizona was second to Georgia as the tightest race in the nation in 2020. Biden prevailed by about one-third of a percentage point. The president will struggle to replicate that performance this year if the current polls have anything to go by. Now, Emerson College for the Hill and Nexstar last month put Trump up by 3 points in a head-to-head matchup. Trump's lead grew to 6 points when Robert Kennedy Jr. is added as a third-party choice. And the pro-Kennedy super PAC, America Values, claims it has already secured more than enough signatures to get Kennedy on the ballot in Arizona. Two other factors to consider. First, Latinos make up a larger share of Arizona's population than they do in any other battleground state, 33% according to the Census Bureau. Trump's allies contend the former president's making big inroads with the demographic nationally. I'm a little skeptical, but in 2020, Biden bested Trump by 28 points among Latino voters, according to a VoteCast survey commissioned by the Associated Press and Fox News. Secondly, Arizona could see one of the most dramatic and polarizing Senate races in the nation, with left-leaning Rep. Ruben Gallego, he's a Democrat, and fervent doesn't even come close to covering what Carrie Lake is. She's the Republican and election denier, and she is the nominee for the U.S. Senate from Arizona. So it's Gallego and Carrie Lake and Kyrsten Sinema is going to go spend more time with donors. State of Georgia. Georgia has made plenty of political headlines recently related to the effort by Trump and his allies to overturn the 2020 election in that state. And Trump faces 10 charges over that push, even after a judge threw out 3 additional charges against him last Wednesday. And back in 2020, Biden won that state by 0.25%. Won Georgia by 0.25% of the electorate. CBS News released, a CBS News YouGov poll released this week gave Trump a 3-point edge in the head-to-head matchup. And 1/3 of Georgians are black, a significantly higher portion than in any other battleground state. Obviously, that makes black voter enthusiasm for Biden critical if he is to have a real shot at holding on. And there is some pessimism in Democratic circles about Georgia, with some strategies arguing that North Carolina presents a more inviting target for Biden this time around. 4 years ago, Biden was the first Democrat to carry Georgia in a presidential election since 1992. Couple more. We'll get to Wisconsin. Michigan. Biden carried Michigan with a smidgen of comfort in 2020, defeating Trump by about 3 percentage points. In current polling, it is one of the tightest of the battleground states. Right now, Emerson, The Hill, it's a Hill article, they're going to quote their own polling, found Trump leading by 2 with just him and Biden on the ballot. And Trump's edge doubled to 4 points with Robert F. Kennedy on the ballot. This could be a problem, this third party, this Ross Perot effect that Kennedy could have. Kennedy could bleed some Dems and Republicans, I suspect. As with Arizona, the pro-Kennedy super PAC contends it has enough signatures to make that happen. A big warning sign for Biden came in the Democratic primary. Now, Dom and I were there in Detroit, in Rochester Hills. 100,000 people voted that day uncommitted. And that was a big effort by the Arab American community to show discontent with the current Biden-Gaza policy. But let's see what The Hill says about our fair state, Wisconsin, alphabetically at the end. Wisconsin was the narrowest Midwest win for Biden, where he scrapped home a 0.5 percentage point win. It has fewer non-white voters than any other battleground, with Latinos representing 8% and African Americans 7%. And the most recent, again, The Hill poll, they use The Hill poll at The Hill, has Trump up 3 or 4 points depending on whether Kennedy has ballot access. The state has a relatively strong history for Democrats in the recent past, with Evers winning re-election in 22 and Tammy Baldwin seeking a third term in November. She's going to win. Still, Trump should not be underestimated. He beat Clinton in Wisconsin in 16, becoming the first Republican to carry the state since 1984. It's not going to happen again. There was not a civic media network then. There is now. It's going to help. It's going to matter. Trust me on this. And the Devil's Advocates, we're going to do our part, and so are you people. You're going to tell all your friends about us. We're going to influence hearts and minds all across the great state of Wisconsin. Stick around. Dom joins. It's a happy hour indeed. The 4 o'clock hour with Dom and you, 844-96-PARTY.